Win.
Congrats. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be here for two more days.
Yeah, but I wanted to come in early. I had a gift for you.
You run an up tempo?
You beat those guys up so bad, one of the Bears couldn't get on the plane.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
For you. And
thank you.
I want to give you something else.
What's that?
I know you got a week-to-week deal.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you the win at Dallas, and then we'll wait for that.
I appreciate that.
And I want to thank you for something else. Okay. I really want to thank you. I'm going to be around here for a long time. And I know in 1,000 years when I'm here, Nick Foles is my quarterback. Thank you very much.
That's the best suit you've ever worn.
Merry
I appreciate
Christmas.
It. Merry Christmas to you. Okay, press conference is over. Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas.
All right, buddy. Holidays are fun.
What's different about this team now compared to the last time you played Dallas?
We're just more experienced. We've been together longer. I think we have a better understanding as a coaching staff of our players, you know, and what they can do, and putting those guys in position to make plays. And I think everybody's a byproduct of their experiences. And I think the reps that all those guys have gotten, you know, I think it was Nick's second or third game playing, you know, he's got a lot more reps in there that, you know, people getting comfortable and understanding the situation. People know when guys are going right, guys are going left. I just think the experience factor is a lot different than when we played them earlier in the season.
Is it hard to make sense of that performance out of Nick, though, given what the rest of the sample size has shown?
The example last night?
Or from the first Dallas game.
Yeah, we don't dwell on it. You know, we correct the mistakes, and I know Billy does a great job with that, and then we move on. You know, and I don't think you can put more weight on one game than you can on another game. You know, you can't sit there and say when we do play really well, you know, let's spend more time on that game. It's they're all, you know, we just look at everything the same way, and I think we're pretty consistent in our approach.
Can a game last night with the starters in and play for most of the game help you build momentum as you go into next week?
You'd like to say that, but not in this league. You know, I think that's the one thing you better get rid of it, whether it's a win or a loss, very quickly. And I'll give Dallas credit. You know, they give up a 23-point lead to Green Bay the week before, and the sky has fallen, and then they come back and they beat Washington. So. You know, this league will test you from the standpoint of it's not what you did last week, it's what you do this week, and it's about how you prepare. So we get back here to work tomorrow, we better understand that.
How important has Jason Kelce been to this team?
He's been huge. You know, I think everything that we get started on the offensive side of the ball, you know, starts with him. He sets the blocking schemes for us. Very, very smart and a real student of the game, and spends a lot of time on the intricacies with him and Coach Stoutland, kind of going over how do we want to block this, how do we want to do that. You know, he's really almost the coach on the field for that group, and he takes a little pressure off the quarterback. Some systems, the quarterback's making all those calls, and in our system, our center does it, and it's because Jason can handle that. And I think he's been really invaluable to us.
You talked even as early as April when you first got him in here that about him always being here and the leadership skills. But how important is it to also, as a leader, be good at the, you know what I'm saying, the position you play?
Yeah, that's always the biggest, I think the biggest thing is, I mean, a lot of people can talk about it, but you have to be able to do it. And he does it every day. And you know you have I've always felt that you know you have a really good team when your best players are your hardest workers. You know, and you look at D'Amico Ryans and Trent Cole and Jason Kelce, Jason Peters and Brent Celek and McCoy and Deshaun. I mean, it goes on. There's not one guy you're going to say, well, we don't get a real lot out of him in practice, but he's a gamer. We don't have a bunch of gamers. We have a bunch of guys that really understand that we win because of our preparation, and he's a prime example of that.
When you looked at the tape of Chicago going to the game, did you see a lot of, I guess, protection issues with them when the team sent five or six guys? Did you feel like that was an area you guys would just exploit as well as you did?
No, not really. And a lot of it goes to our guys, too, is that, you know, schematically, it was they had hat for hats, but guys defeated one-on-one blocks, you know, and I think our D-line keeps getting better and better each week. You know, a lot of those guys are difficult when they get in single-block situations. Trent's a guy, you know, just because of how tenacious he is and the experience he has of being a really good pass rusher is that, you know, very rarely did we have a guy just clean coming in where it was a schematic deal. It was just our guys were doing a really good job of beating one-on-ones, and that's what they did. You know, Michael Kendrick sack, same thing. You know, he just doing a great job of defeating one-on-one blocks.
How do you remember Dallas handling that the first time you played them when you guys sent?
I forgot about that game.
Chip, you stuck with Bryce as your number two tailback, even when his numbers weren't great early on, wasn't getting a lot of yards. What did you see from him? Gave you confidence to stick with him?
Well, I mean, we always talk 2-3. I think we have two of them. So I think, you know, you'll see Chris in there too. As a staff, I guess we don't talk about it as 2 and 3, but I've always been.
Bryce has gotten a lot more carries than Chris.
Yeah. But again, that's not how we look at it, who's two, who's three. You know, it's just depending on what we're doing. But the one thing we know about Bryce, I think he's a really, really good downhill runner. You know, I think he's just starting to hit his stride, starting to figure out, you know, kind of what we're doing. But it's been really, I think him and how hard he's worked. And I think the fact that Chris is there, you know, we have competition at that position. And I think they both bring the best out of each other and really just happy with how we performed, you know, yesterday. I think it's hopefully it's something we can build upon this week coming up. So
players have talked about how even keeled Nick is. What's the most frustrated you've seen him in your time knowing him here?
I don't know if I've seen him frustrated, to be honest with you. So I'm sure he gets frustrated, but I don't have a story where I can say, hey, there was one time where, you know, he threw his chin strap or something. He just really, a matter of fact, very on point with what he's got to do and what he's got to correct if he doesn't do it the right way.
What do you get on your guys as far as, you know, and how do you keep them from not getting too high, being that, you know, this game's for everything, probably, you know, the biggest game a lot of them played ever?
Well, last night was the same way, you know, and I think that's been our approach. I think since we went 3-5, every game's been, you know, kind of our backs against the wall. So this game's no different. I just, as I told those guys last night, and I'll say again, for us, the playoffs just start this week. So, you know, if we are fortunate enough to win on Sunday, then we get an opportunity to play again. If we don't win on Sunday, then we're not playing again. It's very black and white to us. So, I mean, I don't think I have to hammer that home in terms of that this is the biggest game, because it is. So.
Does Nick live by that credo that you preach about, playing with emotion but not letting emotion play with you, maybe as good as anyone on the team?
I think so. But I think we have a lot of guys who do that. You know, I mean, that's the one thing, the reason where we are where we are. I think D'Amico Ryans is a prime example of that. You know, is that D'Amico is just such a consistent, steadying force. You know, I don't think you ever see D'Amico, you know, lose his composure out there. But there's an intensity to him. There's an intensity to him in meetings. There's an intensity to him in practice, you know. And again, when your best players are like that, I think that helps overall for everybody. So,
how do you plan on handling the holiday this week in terms of times and schedule?
We're just kind of, we'll do a little bit more tomorrow because it's Christmas Eve, and then we'll compact Christmas Day. You know, I thought it was really important for our guys to be with their families and open presents with their kids. So we'll start our day on Christmas Day at 11 and then try to get them out of there for Christmas dinner. So we're just kind of tighten up a little bit more on Tuesday, a little bit more on Thursday, and kind of tighten up Wednesday.
Did the way Nick reacted after that first Dallas game, you said he doesn't really show emotion and kind of takes everything even keel. I mean, was that kind of like a key moment as far as his ability to do that? Like just kind of the way he reacted from that game?
Yeah, I don't know about his reaction, but I just know about his performance when he went back on the field against Oakland, you know, because you can react the same way, but if you go out and perform the same way, that's two different things. So I think it was really his performance that made a statement to everybody.
In your experience of big bowl games, big Pac-12 games, do you do anything to try to keep them loose, or is the consistency of the approach what you emphasize?
No, it's really the consistency, and I think if you make it more than it is, they know. I mean, they're pretty sharp, and I, you know, it's just like you can't make a I can give them a fire and brimstone speech in a preseason game and tell them that this is a Super Bowl. I mean, the coach, is a preseason game. I mean, they understand what it is, but they also have to understand our mentality is that every single time you get a chance to compete, you got to consider it's on the line. And there's, you know, there's not a magic formula of how you get, I got to get geared up for this and not get geared up for this. I think if you do, you're living in peaks and valleys. So I think we got a competitive team. You know, they take 2-minute situation in practice as a competitive situation, and that's what you hope. You got a bunch of competitors that, you know, when the whistle blows, they're going to go out and compete. And do you get that every time, a thousand times in a row? No, and I think that's the biggest thing. Teams that can be consistent over time are the teams that win. So,
Jim, Coach Mark Trestman talked last night about how much the game changed after you guys got those two quick scores in the first quarter. Obviously, it helps to get a turnover, but how much of your offensive philosophy with the tempo is based on the way that can sort of suffocate an opponent and get them out of what they want to accomplish?
It's not based on that. I mean, we would like to play that way the entire game. You know, it's just sometimes we don't execute the way we need to execute to stay on top of it. But, you know, our guys were fortunate. You know, you want to kind of, when the momentum's on your side, you want to keep that going. But, again, that's sometimes it's easier said than done. But I'll give credit to our guys for really executing in the clutch in some of those situations of understanding how important it was to kind of jump out to a lead and against a really good team, you know, and kind of get them to play off schedule, you know, and throw a lot more and, you know, really take some of their running game out of it. Because I thought going in that the Forte was going to be a real tough matchup from a running standpoint because he had done such damage to other teams going into it. But we really, I think because we jumped out to a lead, kind of made them a little bit more of a one-dimensional team.
But you've been at this for 15 weeks now and going through all the games and stuff. What's been the hardest lesson that you've learned coaching at this level after the season?
I mean, I guess I don't look at it. I think I learn lessons every single day, but I don't look at one as harder than another. You know, I think every day there's things that come up that, you know, you got to kind of problem solve. But I think we as a staff kind of embrace that. You know, how do we handle this? And, you know, what's our answer here? And then maybe sometimes if we don't have the answer, then it's let's go back to the drawing board and start it again. But I think that we kind of embrace that mindset. So we don't look at anything as hard, but we look at it as every day we can learn from what we're doing.
I can't imagine a lot of starting cornerbacks are on the kickoff coverage units on all teams. Mm-hmm. Bradley Fletcher's been in that role all year. Why have him there, and what value has he brought?
Well, I think it's an emphasis of how important special teams are to us, and he just is what we asked that particular position on that team to do. I think he's ideal for it, and I think it also says to him and to the rest of our team what this deal is all about. It's about winning football games, and if we can get contributions from him on teams and that's going to help us win, then he's going to do it. So, when you just look at that play kind of in a microcosm is that, you know, Bradley Fletcher strips the ball and Kerry Williams, our other starting corner, recovers the ball. But I think that's kind of speaks to how selfless these guys are in terms of what they want to get accomplished. And if it means that our starting corners are going to play on teams because we had Coleman and Colt down, you know, so we move Rock inside and, you know, kind of move some guys around, it's really – all hands on deck and whatever we got to do to win the football game. And, you know, that's just their approach. And, you know, it wasn't something where you got to go in and say, hey, we would like you guys to do this. We got guys volunteering to do stuff like that. So it's a real positive.
You had Wolf and Chung rotating at first, I guess. Wolf was he had been out for a while. He just wanted to ease him in. And two, when he didn't play after he tweaked his knee again, was that precautionary or because you guys were ahead at the time?
Because we were ahead. And then, obviously, he's been out for a while, so we were just going to try to work him back into the lineup. And then we got a lead, and we felt like we didn't need to, put him back out there. So we'll see how he goes this week.
Did he need any MRIs or anything?
What's that?
Did he need any MRIs or extensive medical tests?
Okay. Every Monday afternoon, I'll meet with the trainers and get you the update on terms of where we are. But you're as consistent as I am because that's 15 weeks in a row. And
next week. We'll get another one in there.
Okay.
How important have the tight ends been in the run game specifically when they kind of come across the formation and take that edge defender? It seemed like you guys had a lot of success with that last night.
Yeah, we did a little bit of that last night. I think James really. One of his strengths, I think he really understands blocking schemes and mechanics. I think because, you know, when he was in Houston, he was a fullback, H-back type guy, and that's kind of how we're using him here. But I've always said since day one that, you know, that's one of the reasons we drafted Zach, how integral tight ends are to what we do offensively. And we've got three guys that are contributing in a lot of different manners, you know, and I think it's, you know, they're all not just graded on how many catches or touchdowns they score. It's an integral part of what we do in the run game is how our tight ends, and I think we've gotten great production out of those guys.
It seems like you guys didn't use that specific look earlier in the season. It's been more the last 3 or 4 weeks. Has that been a result of how defenses have played you or just a wrinkle?
Combination of things. I mean, there's a lot of different things I think you can do offensively, but when you pare down your game plan to what you want to get accomplished, how does it match up with, you know, the depth and type of handoff you want to use? How does it match up with the defense that you're using? How quickly do you want the back to hit the hole? Do you want to read people? Do you want to block people? You know, a lot of different combinations in terms of how we're going to do that. But the fact that we have guys that are versatile like that, I think, has really, you know, kind of been a bonus for us.
At times this season, you guys have had trouble putting away opponents and stuff. And then, you know, last night it seemed like every time they even threatened, you guys were able to answer. I mean, that obviously make you pretty proud.
Yeah. But we gotta don't mean anything unless we go out and do it again. So I think it's every week is a different story, and it just, you know. And there are some games that Tampa Bay did a good job, Green Bay did a good job, Washington didn't do such a good job, Arizona didn't do such a good job, you know, Detroit we did, you know, these guys we did. So, but you know, you just can't sit there and pat yourself on the back. You learn from it. What do we do well? What can we continue to do? How does that carry over in terms of a game plan standpoint when we're playing our next opponent? And is there anything that we did last week that's applicable to this week? And then, If not, you know, what's our new approach if we can get into that situation?
If you look at your corners, why do they seem to play better in these matchups that appear more difficult going into the game? Last night, Arizona in particular.
I don't know.
But there's some personnel matchups where it doesn't seem as difficult and they struggle. And then in these, the Bears game, the Cardinals game, the coverage is tighter, they're more physical. Is there any reason for that?
I don't know.
Your offense is less than one turnover, I think, in seven straight games. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you value points off turnovers, but how if you look at just that alone, how important has that been?
That's huge. I mean, that's a number one thing offensively is do not turn the ball over. You know, when we talk about it as a group of being a great ball security team, and I think SIWs are self-inflicted wounds, and those are things that we can prevent. You know, we've done a better job as the season's gone along from a penalty standpoint on the offensive side of the ball. We've done a better job of not turning the ball over, you know, and I think the numbers off the charts, what our plus minus is in games we've won compared to the games we lost. You know, we lost by 10 to Kansas City on the Thursday night game. We were minus 5. You know, we turned the ball over 5 times offensively, and you're not going to win when you're continually stopping yourselves. And so we talk about it a lot with our guys. Quarterback really values it, understands it. I think we're doing a better job with our backs, but there's still times even when we don't put the ball on the ground that the ball's still shaking away from their body, that we really emphasize ball security and keeping the ball tight. And that'll be a number one factor again when you go into this game on Sunday night, who's a better team at ball security.
Your screen game has been very effective, obviously, all season, but last night it was just devastating. What mm-hmm. Did you think that would be the case against the Bears, and what were you doing so well?
I just think there's a lot of things that go into it. I think, number one, we have a couple very, very athletic offensive linemen that can get down the field and block in space. You know, if you're going to choose to play us in man coverage, and if we can pick off the guy that's got the back man-to-man, and then you also have a back that's really good in open space. So, you know, there's a lot of combinations there. So it's, you know, kind of picking and choosing when you call them. The other thing it does, I think it stops the rush a little bit, so it negates those guys. If your answer is to try to stop the screen game with your defensive line, then if they're worried about the screen game, then they're not worried about rushing the quarterback. So kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, you tie your screen game in with your running game, with your play action game, and with your drop back game. And I think if you're varied enough with that, then you're presenting some problems to the defenses that you're facing.
Is there an art with that, with the quarterback, just like holding on to the ball to the last second before he gets rid of it, and then letting blockers get up there?
I don't know if it's an art, but I think you're right, there's a lot of details involved in it. And I think we spend a lot of time on the fundamentals of, you know, the angles of departure, the timing of the offensive line, the back and his timing in terms of when does he go out, the quarterback and his timing is when to hold it, how much time can he buy to let the screen develop. But it's not something like, hey, let's just run a screen. There's a lot of moving parts, and it's probably one of the most difficult plays from a timing standpoint with – between the O-line, the back, and the quarterback to kind of work on. But it's something we spend every day in practice doing.
And with screens, I mean, it's a one play where all 11 guys are involved. So, I mean, does it make sense that later in the year when these guys have been together and worked on it more, that it's a play that would, you know, you'd have the success later in the year like you did yesterday, that by virtue of being together?
Yeah, but yes, because of all like that. But I would say every play we run involves all 11 guys. So we've been good at screens, I think, for a while here. You know, you look at the one Brent ran in the Cardinals game down to the 1 yard line, you know, and a couple of our key plays have been, but it's just part of what we do offensively. I think it's another way to spread the ball around. It's another way to take advantage of some of the things defenses are trying to do. If they're going to try to play in man, then you really got to worry about the guys who's covering man to man, and can we get those guys blocked? Because if you do, there's a lot of open space for you.
How much of the offensive improvement over the last 7 games do you attribute to just having the consistency at the quarterback position to be able to develop that rhythm and timing and tempo?
There's a lot to that, you know, and I think when we did stumble, there was a lot of instability at the quarterback position, you know, and when you have a guy and you can get settled at it, I think it helps because people kind of know where he's going to be, when the ball's going to be released, you know, kind of what his makeup is and where are we going to be as an offense. So that's been a huge part of our success over these last couple of games.
What have been the biggest difference, Coach, in terms of Nick Foles from when we look back at the film of that first Dallas game at his level of play right now?
I think his confidence is a byproduct of his experience. You know, and I think the more looks he sees, the one thing with Nick is that he's a very quick study. You know, and I think one of the ways that all of us are quick study is we need to make mistakes. You know, and I think, but you have to be able to learn from your mistakes. And I think that's one thing that Nick does a really, really good job of is he's very analytical of himself. He's very critical of himself in a really constructive way of, you know, how do I improve on this? But I think the first part of it and kind of the whole thing we talk to our team about all the time is that, you know, we don't make excuses. You know, if we don't do something right, you got to admit to it first before you can correct it. Because if you continue to make an excuse, then you're not acknowledging that you made a mistake in the first part. So I think our guys have, a healthy dose of confidence in themselves that understand that you do have to make mistakes to continue to grow and to continue to get outside your comfort level. And I think one thing with Nick is I think he's very critical of himself, but in a constructive way. And I think that shows up in terms of the little teeny details that I think that separate from being good and going to great is he's willing to work at that. And that's something that as a coach you really love having a guy that can be that can take that in a constructive manner.
Tony Romo has faced a lot of criticism, particularly for his performances in big games late in the season. How do you view him as a quarterback?
Fourth and six, game on the line, scrambles, keeps the ball alive, hits DeMarco Murray, and they win the game. So I'm always on what you did last, and what he did last was pretty special. You know, the way he avoided the rush, kept drives alive, and I think he's as talented a quarterback there is in this league. And at any time with that position, I think sometimes you get probably too much credit and too much blame, but he's one of the really, really, really good quarterbacks we've seen, and I said that the first time we played him. If you're a fan of just quarterback play, he's pretty special. So we got our work cut out for him. But it's a challenge we're excited to go against.
Chappie, you talked a lot about the importance of the first series and everything. And what's the challenge of the play calling? You got down there in that, I guess it was third and goal. And how important, I know you had scored a lot of points, obviously, but how important was getting seven there instead of three in that first drive?
I think it's always important, you know, when you're starting a game off to get off to a fast start and, you know, not settle for anything. And I think the longer we're together, our players understand that. But a lot of those situations, you know, we knew exactly what we were going to do because of how we repped it and how we drilled it in practice in terms of what's our order when we get into the red zone and we go from the high red zone to the low red zone, kind of what we're going to call. And they're not surprised by anything we call just because we practice it in that manner. So I think what you're seeing or what you saw yesterday was really just kind of how our week of training went. I think that's what this group's all about. If we can prepare and train, then we got a shot at Sunday. So.
Chip, is Foles better reading man-to-mans now than he was maybe in that Dallas game?
Man-to-man defenses.
I hope so.
You think he is
now? Yeah, I think he is. The numbers will back it up.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Cover your bear.